All right, so today we finish up our Easter sermon series on our core beliefs as a church. We have these core beliefs listed on our website, so if you just hover over the About Us tab, you'll see the what we believe, and then you can click our core beliefs, and that'll take you to our core beliefs page, and you can see all the core beliefs and read the brief descriptions there of all those different things. I know it's not the season, but I know it's a big deal for some people. How many of you guys, do we have anybody in here that's really into fantasy football? No fantasy? I know it's a big deal. Really? Nothing. Any just football fans? People are okay, big into football. Can anyone rattle off some stats to me, like some quarterback stats or something? Yeah, rattle them. Okay, they're not going to be right. Is what? You got some? Are these real?
$375 million to be a commentator.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's going down the commentator side of things. He knows to the penny how much they make. That's not a bad deal. What about baseball? Any baseball? Big stats fans with Reds and stuff? The Reds won last night. Okay, we got a win. But I know some people are really deep into this stuff, and you're getting shy on me. You can just rattle off stats. No one has any of those type things? I know they're out there. Chuck, are you not a stats guy? No? Do what? Fantasize you can play. All right, well, let's go a different direction in sports. I've gotten pretty deep into landscaping the past year, and I know there's a handful of people that are into that. Who can get me 10 quick different plants? I guess you started. Phlox, hostas, daisies, there we go. You got 7 more. Keep going. What? I did that one. Patience, sunflowers. Okay, we're getting a little something here. I thought we had some more sports people in here. Comic books. All right. We got some comic book stats. Let's go with that. Where's some, name me 10 DC heroes. Ooh.
Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Shazam, Plastic Man, Huntress, Batgirl, Robin. That's Marvel.
Yeah, that's why I went DC. DC's not as popular, so it was... Who's super? Okay, there. That's 10 then, right? 10. I know we got some. We got gun people in here. I don't know anything about guns. Who's got some stats on guns? Some different details, things you can. Well, we got Buzzy back there. What do you got, Buzzy? What are some things you can share with us? Some little details that you know took some time to take in and get. What about details on different brands? Sir? Oh, she's got it? Okay, so she's listing off different types of guns, which for some of you guys, that's kind of like, you know, for me, I understand some of that. I get some of it, but I can't imagine what, you know. They don't create pictures for me on different things. You know, we are in different things. And some of you guys know some of these people. I thought fantasy football would be kind of a given because that's a big deal. But people know sports stats. People know, you know, anything that you're into, you can take those things in. And you remember them and you study them and you're into them and you get them. And we can do that. So it's not that we can't with the Bible. It's that we don't. Because we fully can. We have other places where we recall these things and we take them in and we can just boom, 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 boom. And maybe I didn't hit hot spots for some of you guys. But everyone's got some things there where they got it all. And you can rattle off stat and stat and stat or detail and detail and detail. I've encouraged you each week in this series to engage, to invest, to take your time and make this something where it's not just because it's stuff on your church's website that's important or something that your preacher says is important, but that it's something that is important to you. That we can rattle off facts and details about other things that are important to us. But how many of us can confidently answer questions about God? About his existence, about Jesus Christ, our Savior, about the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about the basic stuff, but to be able to rattle off some details, some stats, some scriptures. Facts about how trustworthy our Bible is. Truths about mankind and eternity. And we have the capability of that. Christians, we should know why we believe what we believe. We should be able to give a hope or an answer for the hope that we have. So don't let this series just come and go. I really want to encourage you to dig in. If you've missed any of these series, their sermons, they're up on the website. And if any of them just got too much for you, and about halfway through, you just took all you could get and you kind of checked out a little bit. I get it. There's been a bunch. That's one of the great things about having them online, to be able to go and listen. You can listen to 15, 20 minutes, take a break. My Taekwondo instructor, Grandmaster Koblenz, he really got into the Revelation series. And he listened to it one time all the way through, and he was like, man, that's good stuff. He said, you became my Bible study time. And so he would sit in front of his computer with a pad of paper and his Bible and pens and other, study material up on his computer. And he said, I would go through and I would just take a little bit of each sermon and study and study and stop it and then study a little more. So that's so great that we can have that availability through technology and have that up there. So you can do that with this series. I think this series would be a very important series to go back and revisit from time to time and just dig into it. Because we should be able to give an answer for the hope we have. And it shouldn't just be a generic answer. People aren't looking for that. People want something with some substance. There's different philosophies on what to bring into a sermon on a Sunday morning. Say, well, if it's too heavy, then new people will get a little timid about that. And I don't agree with that. I think people are looking for substance. They're looking for real stuff to sink their teeth into. And they don't want to be insulted by being dumbed down with some, little lofty, light sermon on a Sunday morning. If they come in and they're engaged with something in the Bible, here's where it is. I believe in people. I think they're wanting that. I think they search for that. And for all of us to be able to give some depth and as deep as they want to go. If you're able to go down here and they only want to go here, you're fine. If you can only go here and they want to go down here, you're in trouble. And you might have missed out on an opportunity. I'm preaching already. Each of the sermons in this series, they've been thick with scripture, not only the information, but I want it to be something where you understood that this is not just something that the church, has put up and it's, simple descriptions. They're descriptions with biblical facts and biblical backings and foundations. It's not just something, it's not just the opinion of another man up here on stage. It's from scripture and not just in one place, but multiple places. So please dig in. If you're here and you don't know what to think about these different things, this is a great series for you. And if you've missed these, then I encourage you, go back and check them out. If you're questioning, I don't know about God, I don't know about this Jesus guy or the Holy Spirit or how trustworthy the Bible is, and go back and listen to these if you missed any of them. They'll help answer a lot of questions, and they'll start you in a process of digging and studying. And this is the most important decision you can make about what to do about the Bible, about what to do about Jesus. He says that membership into his kingdom is the single most valuable thing that you can gain here on earth. It is the most valuable treasure that you can have. The biggest decision we can make is whether or not we make Jesus Christ our Savior or not. And that brings us to our subject today, which is salvation. Today on the website is our most detailed. So if we pull that back up, if you go back, should be yep. So this one is the most detailed on our website. All the rest of them are kind of a little simple. Jesus has got a little bigger block than some of the other ones. But this one is the most detailed. So your notes today, really, if you want to cheat, you can just pull up the website on your phone. We're just going to go through these. And that's what our notes are this morning in your bulletin. But we're not just going to be going through those in the spirit of this series. There's scripture. Every one of those statements are just bathed in scripture. And we're going to look at that. So we're going to have a lot of little scriptures we're going to read, a bunch of little passages, and not only just read, but we're going to actually read a couple of them twice because they apply in different parts as we go down and look at the problem, the solution, and then receiving the gift of the solution. So let's start off with the problem. So in your bulletins, you can take notes here. God loves mankind and wants all people to live in a relationship with him forever. Thank you very much. But all humans constantly fall themselves short of God's glory. We talked about this last week, about how John 3:16 gives us an understanding that God loves all humans. And that if all humans would respond to God's invitation, that no one would perish, but they would have eternal life, everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God's desire is that all humans would spend eternity with him. Another passage that states this clearly, and this is another one we're going to be reading twice today. For 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Why? Because he doesn't wish that anyone should perish. Not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God wants all people to respond to the gospel message, to his offer of eternal life. As we shared last week, all people sin. And therefore, all people fall short of being able to have this relationship with God because our sin stands in the way. In fact, it's not just that we sin in our past, but we continue to sin. We continually fall ourselves short. It's an action we do to ourselves. We fall short of God's glory. As we read last week in Romans 3:23, and I think in your bulletins it says 6:23, I get those, they're very similar in nature. So you want to change that if you want that to be a good reference for you later. So Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So because of this, mankind is without the hope of earning the right to have a relationship with God and spend eternity with him. Because of this, mankind is without the hope of earning the right to have a relationship with God and spend eternity with him. We cannot earn it. More scripture on that. Romans 3:20, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. There's nothing we can do. We talked in the Bible series about how form literal Bibles will be a little bit confusing the way they're trying to get right at the Greek. This is a great example of that. You read it a couple of times, you're like, wait a minute, it kind of sounds a little Yoda-ish. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace, we sung about that today. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Romans 6:23, here's where that one comes. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin. A wage is something that you earn, so we have earned death. That's what that verse says. However, the other side of that is that the gift of eternal life, it is a free gift. It is a gift. It's not earned. Jesus was God's solution, chosen before creation. Before any creative word came out of God's mouth to form this planet, all of the planets, the oceans, the mountains, the huge whales, the cute little chipmunks, all of the physical universe that we know of and so much more that we don't. Before any of that was physically formed, God had planned to send Jesus. And we read about that last week in Ephesians chapter 1. And so that was God's solution to the problem. The solution was that Jesus Christ offered himself as the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. We talked about this on Easter Sunday, about how Jesus was obedient to God's plan, willing to lay his life down to take on the sins of the world. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Salvation is then offered to mankind as a gift from God. Not something we earn, it's a gift. Jesus took our sins, he bore our sins on that tree. And just as we read a moment ago in Romans 6:23, focused on the first part of that, that the wages of sin is death. But the other half of that is what we just talked about, that solution of sending Jesus as the perfect sacrifice, the gift, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So receiving the gift of the solution, as with any gift, in order to receive it, we have to accept it. That's kind of funny. I thought you guys had, you guys don't have pens, do you? Or did you take them all? Here's one. So typically when I'm talking to someone and we're sitting over a desk or, you know, sitting together talking about God's plan of salvation, or rather we call it God's plan of salvation. His plan of salvation was Jesus. How we respond to his plan of salvation, that's really what we call the plan of salvation. You know, all the different elements of that. And typically I have a pen because we're taking notes and we're writing some things down and whatnot. If you guys have been through the 2 × 8 = 16 series on YouTube that I've put up there, that's to aid you guys. It's not to send people to and go watch these four videos or however many of them there are. But that's a training type of series. So if you can go to that and check that out. But in that process, I get to a point where since I've got a pen in my hand, I tell him, well, here, we can do this live here. So if I were talking to Nicole here and we were talking, I just shared about here's what God's plan is. He sent his son, and then to respond to it, this free gift, we have to receive it. So if I'm going to give her this pen, who has the pen? What does she have to do? She has to receive it. There's something there. Did she work for that? It's not a work. Thank you. We'll give that back to Jim. So... but that's, and it's just that simple of understanding. It's not a work. We're not working for our salvation. We're receiving a gift. In receiving the gift of salvation, there are certain elements that are part of that. I make sure I am on point with where. And I mean, golly, I, you know, mentioned earlier this year I passed the 800 mark. Some of you guys have been here for most of those 800 sermons. Has there ever been any time in that? I'm totally vulnerable right now. Has there ever been any time in all of those 800 plus sermons that I've ever said that salvation is a work? Ever. Never. And you can't count the times, but how many of you heard me say that salvation is a gift? And then I typically follow that up. It's not earned. It's not something that we gain through some merit, but something we do. It's received as a gift. And that's not a work. Believing in the biblical importance of baptism does not mean that we support salvation by works. Some people will say that. Some people will say, well, baptism's a work. That's an awful accusation. And you hear it often from people that for some reason, I don't know why you're against baptism, but you know, if we're going to talk about the different parts of salvation, and if we're going to talk about work, in my experience, in my observations, the path to belief, to takes a whole lot more work than baptism. You got to work through that. You have to read. You have to study. You have to dig in a little bit. You have to ask some questions. That takes a little bit of work to believe. Repentance. I mean, to come to a point of surrender. To humble yourselves and admit that you don't have it all together. To turn to God. To lay everything down. To turn to God and make a mental commitment to follow Him and Him alone. That takes effort. My understanding is effort is work. Baptism is the easiest part. That's, if you're going to call it a work, it's the work of the person doing the baptism. It's not the person being baptized, not the baptizee, but the baptizer. Salvation is a gift, and the things that we talk about, these elements that the Bible speaks of how to receive that gift, they're not works. So don't get pulled into something there where I, because I know those arguments exist out there. I've heard them. I've been on the other side of them. Or not, I've been on this side of them. I've had them on the other side of me numerous times in my walk with Christ. That the things that we understand from the Bible, they're not works. It's simply like that pen. You offer a gift and you receive a gift. God so loved the world. His love is unconditional. Receiving the gift is conditional. It's not earned. And you make that separation. But it has conditions. It has things that we do to enter into that relationship that are these elements of receiving the gift. So what I like to do is I like to just look at these various conditions that we read in the New Testament. And some churches or some church leaders or preachers, they'll say that this one's more important than this one. Or this one, or they'll elevate one. A lot of people will blame us, you know, for being, I don't know, I can't remember the name. I think it's Water Christians, because we support, we're big baptism advocates because we feel like a lot of people have left it out. So we speak with a volume on that. But it can very easily be assumed that we don't value the other parts as much because we do speak about this one. And I get that. I can see how people could get that understanding. Some others are, you know, all you have to do is believe. That's all you have to do. And that typically has the phrase attached to it. They are faith only if you're looking at different labels that people give to different views. So all you have to do is believe. And so that kind of elevates that element above some of the other ones. And that baptism is just an outward expression of an inward salvation that's happened. Some of our more conservative or like holiness churches, some of the churches like my wife or the background that she came from, they kind of put a little focus on the repentance part of it. That you come forward and at the front of their stage is called an altar. And you cry and you beg and you plead and you express your sorrow for your sin. And that's what helps you to get right with God. And so it's easy for in those churches to say, well, do they value the other things? Because this really seems elevated. And I get it, how we see all this stuff. But I don't think we need to elevate different things. Let's look at some of these elements. This is where we're going to spend kind of a bulk of our time is just reading a lot of different scripture. Because I want us to see, and I want it to be very plain and very clear to every one of us this morning, what scripture says about receiving that gift. Okay, the first thing that comes is the gospel. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are what? Being saved." Yeah, and that was when I came across that in this, the English Standard Version, I was like, oh yeah. Because just in which you are saved, but I like this understanding of you're being saved. That's more accurate. I'm being saved right now. So anyway, I like that. And by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance, we'll flag that for a moment, that I also received that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. If you ever want a basic understanding of the gospel story, it's right there. I love how Paul paints that. He's like, hey, Jesus died according to the scriptures, he was buried and he rose according to the scriptures. That's the gospel story. That we're being saved by this gospel. In Romans chapter 1, we not only see the gospel, but we also understand that the gospel has to be connected with faith and belief. So we can actually add those in two. Faith for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for what? Salvation. We have it. Yes, it's up there. Everybody's reading along. Is that too small? Are we good? All right. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, for it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Let's look at those two then, belief and faith. They show up a ton in John's gospel. I'm just going to bring a couple of verses. One key verse, there's a lot of key verses in John on about belief, but one of the ones I'm keying in on today, John 6:40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. I went to John 3:16. Should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Everyone who believes, right there, it's Jesus himself. That's in red. If you're reading in your Bibles, that's in the red letters. And of course, the famous John 3:16, we've already read it once, but we'll have it up on the screen again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever, what? Believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So that's what salvation is. To be saved is to have eternal life with God. So the gospel is very important. Belief and faith is important. There are numerous passages connecting belief to salvation through John's gospel and through other pieces. One of the famous ones we'll see in John and Acts that's often used by one of the faith-only type styles of understanding things, that all you have to do is believe, is Acts 16:31, when Paul is talking with the Philippian jailer and his family. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household. So believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. If you keep reading, they are baptized, so that makes that easy to follow that. But right there in Scripture, believe and you're saved. Romans 10:9-11, we see belief and confession. Let's go and put that up there. Confess. Confession. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, so we got confessing and believing in our hearts, that God raised him from the dead, that's the gospel story, we're back up here too. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is what? Saved. Well, we just read in Acts 16, he says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. Then in Romans, we talked about the gospel, it's the power of God to save for salvation. It's of first importance, all of these. And if you want to pick one, that's when we start getting things confused. That's when we start getting these denomination lines, and it's frustrating to me because the Bible states pretty simply, I don't think we need to be confused about it. So confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, we get to repentance. Always get stuck. A. Always E-N-C? A-N-C. Repentance. Repentance. Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore. So we get an understanding, a kind of a definition of what repent is. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. So repentance is turning to God. We find this in the famous Acts 2:38, which connects repentance and baptism. Where is that? 238. Oh, I'm not getting there yet. I'm still staying on repentance. We'll hang out on repentance. Hide that from your eyes. Sorry, I have a couple more. We already read this verse, actually. 2 Peter 3:9. We read it in talking about God's desire that everyone should repent. But right there it is. The Lord is not slow in fulfilling his promise, as some count slowness, but it is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach what? Repentance. So in that verse, it's very clear the opposite of perishing, like John 3:16, if those who believe, they receive eternal life, they will not perish. And this one, the opposite of perish is to repent. So understand that's connected with salvation. Both John and John the Baptist and Jesus, they came preaching a message of repentance. So this goes all the way back to the beginning of the Gospels. Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then we read that Jesus says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand.' Do what? And believe in the..." Now we got three of them right there. And now we get to go to the famous Acts 2:38. "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.'" How can we get to heaven without forgiveness of our sins? It doesn't work. So this is connected to salvation. To be saved means to be forgiven of your sins. Even though it doesn't have the word "saved" right there, that's the same, they're synonymous. To be saved means to be saved from our sins, to be rescued from our sinfulness, which is what creates that barrier. When we're looking through, here's the problem. We're sinful people. God's holy. God wants a relationship with us. His solution was to send Jesus. And we have an obligation then to understand what it means to receive that gift and to understand that, because there are elements to that. And it is what you would consider conditional, not that we're earning it. Let me reiterate that. Sometimes when we put conditions on something, it sounds like, well, that means you're earning it. No. God says, here is a free gift. In order to get this, you have to sit through a 90-minute presentation. And, all right? We're so accustomed to things like that. Things, so many strings attached. But no, in order to receive that gift, there are things that we need to do. It's just, and we'll talk about the logic of that in just a moment as we get, I just have a couple more on baptism. Did we get all that one? Did we get all that one? No, we didn't. For the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for who? All. How many people have sinned? All. That's a wonderful understanding. Little three-letter word. For all have sinned and continually fall themselves short of God's glory, but the promise of forgiveness of our sins is for all. For your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So baptism is connected to repentance in that passage. And we understand here, if you keep reading in Acts 2:38, 39, go down to 41, you'll read those who received his word, which was the gospel message, those who received his word were baptized. So we see baptism connected to the gospel. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. I'm liking this English Standard Version more and more. That's a cool way of wording that. I've read that a bazillion times in other translations, but that hits at the truth. Not just 3,000 were baptized. They were baptized, and that added 3,000 souls to the kingdom. That's awesome. Baptism shows up all across the book of Acts, directly connected to someone submitting to the gospel message, because if they believe the gospel message, they're accepting the gift of God, which is eternity with him. Anyone who believes in the Lord, or as Jesus said, anyone who believes will receive the gift of eternal life. Receiving this gift of God involves forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all that comes together in Romans 6. As we join in Jesus' death and we join in his resurrection. I refer to that a lot. Let's read that, just a small portion of that chapter, verse 3 of Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You can't get that through sprinkling. You can't get through that pouring. That understanding comes through immersion, which is actually what baptized means. Baptism is a... I didn't plan on getting into this, but I don't have time, so I'll... But baptism is what's called a transliterated word. It comes from the Greek, and they made it look like English. If you were going to translate the word baptize, then you translate it, and the translation would be immersion. In fact, there's one place where the root of baptizo in the Greek, the root of it is bapto, and that word is actually translated in the Bible, and it's when Judas dips his bread in the bowl with Jesus at the Last Supper. That's the word. That's the root word of the word baptizo that we understand as being baptized, immersed, to dip. That's not, he didn't sprinkle the oil, you know, the olive oil on his bread. He didn't pick the bowl up and pour it on it. He dipped his bread, and that word was bapto, which is the root. Anyway, I'll keep going. So we've been buried, therefore we were buried therefore with him in by baptism into death. And he's not saying this was a symbolic or we joined. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. Baptism is what is called a sacrament. It is a physical act that we participate in that is directly connected to a spiritual experience, a real spiritual experience, not something that's just some sort of psychological experience or mental experience or something. It is a spiritual experience. That's why communion is such a big deal. Communion is a sacrament. It is a physical practice or a physical motion that we go through that is directly connected to a real spiritual event that we are connecting in communion with God and with all of his church when we take communion. When we're baptized, it's not just, it's not about the water, but the water is part of understanding this connection that we have. It's a real spiritual connection. And all of us who have been baptized in Christ, we know. When you come up, there's something different. Any of us that have been a baptizer, I love that. Looking in the eyes of someone that's just freshly come up out of the water. It's like, wow. Every time it reassures me, there's something happening here. And it's real. We join in his death. We join in his resurrection. I love what Paul says to the church in Galatia. He says in Galatians 3:27 that as many of you as were baptized into Christ, this new... I don't have it memorized in the new version yet. Have put on Christ. I do like the NIV on this one, that you clothed yourselves with Christ. You put on Christ. And so we have this list of various elements. And let me reiterate, these are not works. This is simply a way of receiving the gift of salvation. And that's how the Bible presents it. And so that's how we should present it. And we shouldn't feel like we're drugged into different arguments to be able to say, no, wait. In my, I had a few years ago, if you remember, I did a little Eminem example. And I was about to bring that back up, but I had too much to cover today, and that takes some time. But the idea is some people look at different ones, and they'll emphasize different ones. And yes, we're a little bit guilty here. We've got some churches guilty here. We've got some churches guilty here. But if you look, if we're all going to be Bible following Christians, then this is what it takes to receive the gift. Why pick it out and say, well, Acts 16:31 says believe in the Lord Jesus, so I don't need to worry about baptism. I don't need to be baptized. But then you got the Church of Christ over here, and they're saying, what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you got these guys over here, and they're like, well, neither you two guys act like you feel sorry at all that you sinned and rebelled against God. You should be at the altar crying your eyes out because you understand how sinful you are and how bad you are and how much you need God's salvation to be clean and washed. You know, why do we have to pick sides? Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that what we just read? Believe and be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. Repent and be baptized, and you'll receive forgiveness of your sins. That equals being saved. The gospel, which Paul says, I told you to kind of file that away. He says of first importance in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, there is a logical order. No doubt. Why would you be baptized into Christ if you didn't confess that you believed? Why would you even repent if you didn't believe the gospel? So there is a logical progression. That makes sense. And you can say, well, right here's where it ends. So that one's important. Well, it is important, but this one's important because it's where it starts. And you're not going to get to any of these other parts if it's not for the part before it. So we can't elevate one and say that is the most important. We can say here's where it starts and here's where it ends, the process of receiving the gift. And I think it's pretty simple to look at in Scripture. Make sure I didn't miss too much. We're about out of time here. Man, some good stuff in there. Trying to condense all the stuff I just read. A couple real quick. I'll just bullet point real quick. I love that. I love the, you'll see it also. Well, it's the verse you just read today. Is it? Yes, we're being saved. 1 Corinthians 1:18. That's a, when I used to sign CDs, that was my 1 Corinthians 1:18, Dusty D and a little guitar. But yeah, that we are being saved was in that passage of scripture there. And the way the English Standard Version talked about that by this gospel, you are being saved. I love that because the idea is, yes, because that'll be a question people bring up. When are you saved? Or are you, I mean, this is receiving. I believe the gospel somewhere in the spring of 91. I was baptized in the fall of 91. And oh, people like to give those questions, don't they? What if someone dies? What if I would have died in the summer of 91? Where would I have been? Do I believe that baptism is essential? Yes, I do. Do I believe that God is a loving and merciful God? Yes, I do. Do I believe he's the one in charge of judgment and not me? Yes, I do. Thank God that's the case. So I think two things can be true. I can say, biblically speaking, baptism is essential. And I can also say that I believe that God understands the trajectory that a person's on. And if something has interrupted that, then I believe that God's got that. So does that make me a hypocrite to say that baptism is essential? No. Because that's what the Bible says. Does it make me a hypocrite to say that, well, are there going to be people in heaven that haven't been baptized? I sure hope so. But we have to teach what we understand. So we're not exempt from that. I can't just say, well, maybe God's going to take everyone that, you know, believed. Because, I mean, that's important. Jesus does say. The Bible does say. But I can't just teach that. I have to teach the whole package. And we all should. Because it's here, it's at the end of this process that I feel a great amount of reassurance. And I can sing that song, Blessed Assurance. I have a hard time singing that song on through through the rest of it. Because I know here's where it ends. This is where you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, We had a handful of questions that were good questions. Let's go and write this down. According to various parts in the Bible, we understand that acceptance of the gift of salvation is dependent on a response. To receive, it's a response. And it's just all the things we just listed right here. Through faith, belief, repentance, baptism, and a lifestyle that confesses that you solely belong to Christ. And all the verses that we read, plus I think some extra ones are right there in your bulletin. And then our final part on the website is that we believe that all these parts are equally important and equally involved in our response to receive this amazing gift. And all of that's just right on the website. This, all of your notes are just straight from the website. And these were good questions too. Next week starts a new series. What, sir? Just do them. I know there's like 50% of you guys that are like, just do them. There's another 50% of you guys that are like, come on now, it's 11:15. Your mom's downstairs too, so. they have to, all right. I don't know if I can do 30 seconds. Where's my, let me switch. Timer. Everybody, we'll try 45 seconds. All right, see how quick I can do this. All right, what about drifting away? There we go. What about drifting away? That's one of the questions people bring up about salvation. Well, if you go to the story of the prodigal son, and that would have been in your bulletins, but it ran out of space. Luke chapter 15, if you want to write that down. The prodigal son. This guy goes, he takes his father's inheritance, he wastes it, he lives crazy wild life, awful life, and then he comes back to the father. The father understands that he's still a son. Yes? That's how I understand backsliding. We slide out, but I think the father still understands that we're still a son. There we go. I did that in 30 seconds. Cancel. Okay, 45 seconds. What's the next one? Can you lose your salvation? Ooh, I got a verse with this one. Yes, you can lose your salvation. That's a scary thing, but it's a very, very conscious effort. Hebrews 10, this is not going to be on the screen. He says, anyone who sets aside the law of Moses died without mercy on evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, who has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has outraged the Spirit of grace? Woo! For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So he says to trample the Son of God underfoot, to profane the blood of the covenant, to outrage the Spirit of grace. That is all very strong language. I want to use my 15 seconds from the last one. to outrage it. We understand when we talk about the Holy Spirit, he has emotions, that he can be grieved, he can be quenched. This is another emotion we didn't talk about, that he can be outraged. If you've taken your faith to that level where you have said, God, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't want you in my life. I don't want any part of that. And you've trampled the Son of God underfoot, that you have profaned the blood of the covenant, that you have outraged the Holy Spirit. That's not something you can accidentally slip into. And I think a lot of people, when they ask, well, can I lose my salvation? I think it's a fear of, lose our salvation. It's not, it's a very deliberate, conscious thing to lose our salvation. If you're going to go down that road, you know you're going there. It's not something that I believe that can happen accidentally. Let me get my timer started. So what about the unforgivable sin? This one is actually very, very, very similar. Jesus says in chapter 12, he says, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. So this one's kind of the same understanding, but it comes from someone who has not yet accepted Christ. So blasphemy from the Holy Spirit comes from someone who hasn't even accepted it and says, I will never, and I don't want any part of it. And if you die that way, of course, you're not going to have salvation. It's not going to be a forgivable sin because you won't be repenting of it. And that's a very, very short, oversimplified version, but that's 45 seconds. What's the next one? Stop. What is it? Age of accountability. That one's pretty easy. Some people ask about age of accountability, you know, and a lot of churches, they'll baptize babies or you know, my son, when he came to me, he was like, I think 5, and he said, Dad, will you dunk me in that water someday? And I was like, absolutely, but I want you to understand a little more about that. And he bugged me when he was 6, and he bugged me when he was 7. I think somewhere around there is when he finally, I asked him, I said, why do you want to be baptized? He said, I want to live forever with God. I want my sins to be forgiven. And I was like, if any adult would have given me that answer, that would have been a yes. So age of accountability happens. You can't just stamp, you know, okay, 12 years old and you have to make a decision. Every child is different. When they come into an understanding of what it means to give your life to Christ, to be baptized into Christ, and to follow him, that's what age of accountability would be defined as, and it varies for different people. So that's 45 plus seconds there. What about people? Ooh, this one's really tough. What about people who have died without having heard the gospel? Ooh, okay. Do I believe every one of these things are essential? Yes. Do I believe the Bible teaches them? Yes. Going back to what I said earlier, do I believe that God is the judge and he sits on the throne and that he's not only just, but he's also merciful? Whatever decision he makes there is going to be the right decision. And I know that doesn't fully answer the question, but the answer to the question is I really don't know. If we go as strict as the Bible can be, I can say no, they won't. But when we look at God's mercy and his grace, and I say, they might have a chance. But that's why we have to be so active in sharing the gospel and sharing the truth about these things, because we don't want people to die with question marks above their head. I've done I don't know how many funerals where everyone in that room has a question mark above their head. I hate that. And church, we can't let that happen because we have the truth. We know this and we know where it is in Scripture. You've got it right in your hands today. We have to do something about that, and we have to know so that when that opportunity comes up, we have to know, here's what it looks like to receive the gift of salvation, the gospel, to believe by faith, to confess, to repent, and be baptized into Christ. We, church, should know that because that's part of our core beliefs. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for giving us a very clear path to return to you, that you have spelled things out clearly in Scripture on what you expect our response to your gift to be. Father, I pray that as your children, as Christians, that we would put these verses to memory, that we would file them away like we would, you know, stats or facts or details about our favorite hobby. Father, that they would be ready, that we wouldn't have to pause when we're asked about salvation, but we'd be able to say, hey, you got a minute? And we can just open Scripture and start sharing. Father, help us to alleviate some of these question marks by being more active with our faith, with your gospel, to understand that nothing matters more than someone receiving you, someone hearing your gospel and believing, and then following all of the other parts, elements of receiving that gift, that free gift that you've offered to us through your son, Jesus. We thank you for that. We thank you for him and what he did. And we pray to you in his name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.